This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 145. What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
What?
No. Every week you try this new voice and you try something new like a prospector or some guy standing on a street corner selling hot dogs. And
how about I do Chris Rock? How about some Coke? 45. I wouldn't like.
No. See, if you hadn't said Chris Rock before that, I would not have known that it was Chris Rock.
Chris Tucker.
Yeah. I still wouldn't have known that it was Chris Tucker. He's got a much higher pitched voice.
Well, I can't do that. I have manliness.
Dulcet baritone.
Good King Wenceslas the Gold.
Anyways.
Okay.
So, it's interesting, before we hit the old record button, you're talking about YouTube TV.
Yep.
Comparing YouTube TV and Hulu and Sling.
Yes.
And I guess your conclusion is YouTube TV is probably the best deal?
Well, it's... YouTube TV offers 60 channels, so doesn't Hulu Live TV, 60 channels, with locals. Hulu is $5 more expensive as of the beginning of February, so it's going to be $45, whereas YouTube's $40.
Okay.
It depends on the channels that you want, though. Like, Hulu has a few others, like Discovery, that YouTube doesn't have.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Viacom ones that neither of them have, and that's where Sling TV comes in. That's like your History Channel and DIY and stuff like that. But YouTube offers 3 concurrent streams, whereas Hulu only offers 2. And YouTube has unlimited cloud DVR, whereas Hulu only offers 50 hours of cloud DVR.
Between limited and 50, that's quite the difference.
It's a huge difference. So I'm guessing, YouTube TV just literally rolled out a couple days ago. It was in a lot of major markets around the country.
I think it was in beta, because on my Roku TV, it has a YouTube TV channel.
Yep.
And then a YouTube channel.
Yep. YouTube TV was only available in certain markets, and then, like, literally 2 days ago, they were like, hey, we now serve 98% of the country. Probably wanted to get it in for the Super Bowl, because you can watch local channels, so...
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. A lot of people try to get things in before the Super Bowl. That's a big...
Yep.
That's a big draw.
I think what you're going to see is some of these, like, the Hulus are going to restructure a little bit. You know, you may see that 50 hours of cloud DVR bump up a little bit. There's also going to be a contract renegotiating pretty soon here between, Viacom and the DirecTV, who owns Sling.
Yeah.
So you may see they don't get the deal that they want. They kind of pull away and start offering on these other services like YouTube.
Well, you were just saying that you got a notice from Spectrum saying...
that Cinemax was no longer included with the package that we get that has HBO.
Right.
Which it's always been.
Like, since we were kids, it's always been HBO and Cinemax as a package together. Just like Showtime and the Movie Channel were a package together.
Yep. And then right after that, I get an email from Hulu that says, hey, add Cinemax to Hulu Live TV for only, like, $5 a month.
Yeah.
This is going to be the future.
Yes.
This is going to be – cable companies are going to get knocked out.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about the new internet that's coming?
No, but hold on. I haven't had cable in 7 years now.
Right.
Pardon me. Like, I've done it through I've done it through different ways and through different types and et cetera, as far as watching my TV. Like, where I live now, my antenna grabs 17 channels, you know, so that's awesome for me. But I've always
You got to watch them live.
Exactly. Well, actually, with my
TV,
I can plug a thumb drive in it. The bigger the thumb drive, the more storage I have, and I can record live TV.
Nice.
So that technology is now here.
Yep.
Where people can have their own, like, literally you attach a hard drive to your TV through the USB port, and now you can set up to record your own TV.
Isn't it interesting? It's kind of like how we went from 8-tracks vinyl to cassettes to CDs to digital music, and now vinyl's making a resurgence.
Yes.
Huge resurgence. It's the same thing with over-the-air antennas.
Yeah.
You know, we all used to have those giant metal over-the-air antennas that, you know, stuck out of the roof of your house or, you know, strapped down the side of your house. And then they were like, no, get rid of those. You can go with cable. And now they're making a resurgence. Granted, they're a lot smaller.
But. Well, and they are. And you're right. But here's the thing I find interesting. And I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show, but I had a Samsung TV I bought back in 2012. And I just have a set of rabbit ears. I don't have a big TV on my house. And my Samsung TV, where I currently live, or I will be living for years, I only got 6 and 8, NBC and ABC occasionally. Mm-hmm. And they all have their digital tiers. NBC channel has 4. My ABC channel now has 3. Mm-hmm. My PBS has 4. My CBS has 3. My Fox has 3. So PBS always came in no matter what. CBS was pretty much always there. Fox could be iffy. And 6 and 8 were 50% of the time or 7. You know, it wasn't. I got the new Roku TV, that TCL Roku TV. Same spot, same antenna. And now I get these 17 channels. And even during the big storms we've had recently, the big rainstorms last year, if it was the wind was blowing, 6 wasn't coming in. And now I did not get any breakup of 6, 8. I mean, all the channels come in crystal clear, solid. So it's almost like my TV has a better digital receiver than my old TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes harkens back to the days when it was the analog signal, and it picked it up no matter what. Basically, you could see it. You could watch it through the snow. You knew how to move the antenna to get it to come in clearer. It was passable. And it's almost like now they're making the new TVs, the digital receivers are somehow becoming stronger so they can pull that signal in from further somehow. Now, I know people argue and say like, oh, well, with cable, you still get all these channels that you'll never get over broadcast over network air. Who's to say we won't?
Right.
Who's to say that, like,
well, you know, in order for them to do that, like your local ABC channel actually broadcasts across the air.
Correct.
TLC is not going to do that. History Channel is not going
to
do that.
Well, what's to stop them from wanting to do that, though?
They need to set up antenna arrays. They need to set up radio towers in every city.
Right. But with the way where they're compressing all this data so much, who's to say that in New York City, History Channel is not going to launch a thing where they just blast their signal out there for anyone to grab?
No, it's the same reason that whenever you talk about like ABC and CBS, they always talk about your local channels.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Channel 8 is WMTW ABC for us.
Right.
You go down to New York, their ABC is completely different.
Right.
It's probably on a completely different frequency.
Oh, yes. I'm sure it is. Yeah.
You know, so ABC has programming, but it's picked up by a local station.
In the state of Maine, you have 2 CBS channels.
Yep.
You have WABI TV 5 and WGME 13.
Yep.
So that's that scenario within the same state.
Exactly.
And then you have even like there's ABC 7 in Bangor, ABC 8 Rattapole, Spring, Portland or whatever. Channel 6 is merged to 1. And then up in the county, you have WAGM, which is multiple affiliates on one channel.
And again, these are all locals who want to bring these things. They're local businesses who want to do that. I guess it's possible that at some point some local station might say, hey, we want to start up a TV station and broadcast all of the History Channel, you know?
Well, but the thing is, I'm getting at to this, is like right now, for instance, you'll have a thing where like if you have cable or DirecTV, whatever it is, every once in a while, it's like, oh, you better call your local, you know, you better call like, you know, Spectrum Cable because as of this date, you're no longer going to be getting these several channels because they have to have these contracts with the cable companies. And it's, you know, it's in the cable company's favor most of the time where they charge a fee to the TV providers. Well, someday somebody, ESPN, for instance, is going to be like, you know, fuck the cable companies. I'm tired of paying their fees. I don't want to do that. I'm going to piggyback on my local ABC affiliates. And I'm going to get on their digital tier. And we'll just broadcast ESPN that way. And pick up our revenue based on our commercials.
You make a good point. I think what you're going to see, though, is that they're going to do that. But they're going to do it with these things like Hulu and YouTube. because they can reach more people like that, and they don't have to worry about dealing with the local municipality in each state. In, you know, like you said, we have two different CBSs here in Maine.
Correct, yeah.
There's 1.3 million people in Maine.
Right.
You go down to New York City, there's like 8 million people just in New York City.
Correct.
I don't know how many they have down there for CBS, but, you know,
right,
across the state of New York, they probably have several.
Yeah.
So they'd have to cut deals with every one of those local affiliates, whereas if they went to Hulu and said, hey, can you give us a better deal than the cable companies are ringing us for? And Hulu goes, yeah, we can do this. They'd probably do that. So I think you're right, but I think that rather than doing it local, they're going to go with these package deals where you can pay $40 a month to YouTube or to Hulu.
I just see a day, and maybe that is going to be the case, but, like, you know, my TV has 100-something channels on it,
mm-hmm,
you know, and it's almost like, you know, the cable channels, they don't have the market cornered on those channels, if you will.
Right.
So maybe someday what I'm referring to happen, but probably more realistically is what you're saying as well. You know, like, they'll go with Hulu, they'll go with YouTube TV.
Yep.
But
either way, cable's going to die.
I don't see cable, unless they do something, cable, I don't think is going to be here much longer.
No.
And I say that it could be 10 more years.
Well, here's what I was going to say before that, just to kind of feed into this.
Oh, the new internet.
Yes. Right now your phone is 4G.
Yeah.
You know, you see the little 4G up there. It's fourth generation. That's all it stands for.
Right.
It's fourth generation of internet. 5G has been cleared. 5G is coming out within the next year or two nationwide. You know,
yeah,
it's going to roll out slowly. But this is an international thing, is 5G. And the 5G technology is going to include wireless internet, Wi-Fi in your house, that feeds off cell phone towers rather than off cable or phone lines. So you're going to go to U.S. Cellular, or you're going to go to Verizon, and you're going to pick up a modem from them that has a chip in it just like your phone does.
Yeah.
And you're going to pay them X number of dollars per month, which will probably be cheaper than cable, to get your internet without having to worry about cable going down.
Right.
I mean, when was the last time you had a snowstorm and you lost cable or you lost phone or something like that versus when you lose your cell phone? Like,
right,
cell phone signal never goes out. Well,
no, you're right.
It does, but.
Well, no, fair enough. However, you're right. Just yesterday morning, our internet was down or whatever. I don't know. Either Thursday morning, maybe, because today's Friday, right?
Yep.
Okay. I forget. It's Thursday morning, the internet was down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was down most of the morning. It was
right
back up by the time I woke up, but when I got home from work, it was down. And, you know, but yeah, well, it's almost like making your phone a Wi-Fi hotspot.
Yes.
Like, they have limitations on it right now, because I talked to someone about doing that at U.S. Cellular, but what you're saying is this technology, we're going to be picking up a modem and paying U.S. Cellular $40 a month for whatever.
For speeds that are faster than current
right,
wired.
Hey, you know what? I'm fine with that, as long as it's cheaper.
Yeah. And at that point, this is why, like, Spectrum has started a new thing where they're like, come get your mobile carrier through us. We can do your cell phone.
Ah.
Yeah, because they're grasping.
Right.
And I think what you're going to find is that Spectrum and the cable companies, you know, the Charters, whatever, they're going to have a market for a little while, and it'll be the baby boomers, the older ones who don't know any better, you know, who
yeah,
are just like, well, I've always had cable, and that's my internet.
It's the people that have home phones still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And you're going to see that the younger people, the millennials, et cetera, or the people who are tech savvy are going to adopt the newer technology,
yep,
and the cable companies are going to, they won't disappear overnight, of course, but they're going to start going the way of the dodo bird. You know, it's like, it's the same thing as when DVDs came out and you only had, like, you'd have 132 copies of Titanic and you'd have like three copies of the DVD because not a lot of people had DVD players.
Right.
By the time you and I got done at the video store,
you
get three copies of VHS and 52 copies of DVD.
Right. In fact, a lot of things, the VHS were just being get rid of it type
yep
of thing. Yeah.
And nowadays, you can't find them except for, like, in Goodwill.
Right.
Or maybe a Bull Moose Music.
I say Bull Moose Music has, like, shelves of VHSs. They're 25 cents a piece. And those are, like, Disney movies.
Yeah.
You know, or even those, like the clamshell Disney flicks are a quarter. Like, I don't know if anybody even has, like, someone was talking to me about that the other day, actually, about having a VCR and you know where I can get one or whatever. In my mind, I mean, like, I don't know, aren't they like $20 in the stores now or something? And then I looked it up, and no, they're not.
No,
it's become like the rare technology. So, like, trying to buy like a VCR is pretty expensive.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, trying to buy like a VCR, it seems to have gotten to be an expensive ordeal. Although it's funny, I saw a converter that converts. It was like through my Instagram on those ads. It takes cassette tapes and converts them to MP3. And it was nice. I don't know how expensive it was, but I was just like, people are still like, I figured at this point, like, that would just be done. But they were pushing like your old classic mixtapes that you made that you don't, you know, oh, now you can convert those to MP3 and keep that classic mixtape that you had.
Sexy. That's some sexy stuff.
Anyhow, well, I just thought it was interesting to kind of open up the show.
Yeah, we definitely opened up the show quite a bit there.
Well, I mean, it is called What Did You Watch This Week, and that's all about how we watch shit, too.
Right.
So, go ahead.
This is kind of a catch-up week for us, because the way that we're recording, even after we took that hiatus, we somehow managed to be, like, over. You know, we had too much. So basically, we'd record one.
Yeah.
But then we'd be posting the one that we had recorded from the week before. So we were always ahead of the game. You know, we'd be like, oh, I just watched this. And then it would be a week later before we could actually post that. So we kind of took a week off. You didn't notice, though, because, again, we were ahead by one.
Right.
So technically for us, it's been 2 weeks worth of shows that we have watched and absorbed. And now it's Friday night. I'll be posting this tomorrow or the next day. So it's actually going to be very close to when we recorded it.
And I have found these last 2 weeks, school started back up for me. It's more than I thought. I'm having a little bit of trouble with it. So I've been kind of between the overtime and schoolwork, I haven't watched as much as I thought I would have watched these last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I did manage to, the other night when I was at work and Loud Cloud was down for maintenance for 5 hours when I normally would be doing schoolwork. I was like, I guess I'll watch shit.
Oh, is Loud Cloud your schoolwork?
Yeah. Loud Cloud is what we do our schoolwork on. It's actually through Barnes and Noble.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyways, it was down for maintenance.
Okay.
I mean, we don't go to like barnesandnoble.com or whatever, but it's affiliated with Barnes and Noble. So I didn't watch as much as I thought I would, but I did watch stuff.
I found myself with a lot of shows. Like, I found that there was so much. I'm like, okay, I'm catching up on my weekly shows that are on my DVR, and I'm going to make sure to catch up on them. And then I'm like, but I've still got like 3 or 4 different shows on Netflix and Hulu that I've got to catch up on.
Yeah.
And then, like, tonight, for example, Frost came out on Netflix. That one with the aged hitman, you know, the...
Was it called Frost?
Was that it?
Polar. I know. Polar. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, no, Polar. Yeah, yeah. I saw that was out today.
Yep. I have not watched any Punisher.
I've watched a couple episodes of The Punisher, but like Travelers came out a month ago. I haven't watched a single episode of Travelers.
I'm still back on season 2.
Yeah.
There's too much good on to watch right now.
We had too much stuff, and I don't have enough time to watch it all.
I don't either. I have more time than you. Well, I mean, in different ways. Like,
yes.
You can watch stuff at work, whereas I can't.
But I'm doing full-time student right now.
Right, right.
I'm stupidly being a full-time student right now.
Yeah, you're working towards a goal.
Yeah, it is. And I got 6 weeks left in this first half semester. And,
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just trying to figure out how Mike's phone worked. I was just going to comment on the fact that we're 18 minutes in and we haven't discussed a single show yet.
Yeah, but it was a good opening convert.
Oh, it was.
I got six weeks left in this semester, and it's just I'm finding it a little overwhelming, this first half. And then my second half, I only have 2 classes, and it won't be as burdensome.
Well,
but, it's the accounting class. It's really kicking my balls.
And you're basically picking your battles when it comes to shows, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah, kind of. Like, I haven't watched any of the DC on CW. Those all came back this week. Well, Supergirl, Flash, and Arrow came back this week.
I haven't watched Arrow yet. I watched Supergirl and I watched Flash.
Yeah.
Did I watch Flash?
I don't know. I wasn't with you.
Oh, well, since we're doing 2 weeks, then I watched the first Flash, but I haven't watched the second one yet.
It just came back this week.
No, it didn't. Flash came back a week early.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
well.
Flash came back, and we immediately got some...
Then I'm two episodes behind on Flash.
We immediately get some resolution on... Like, it picks up right where it left off with Nora talking to Thawne.
Okay.
Boom, like right there.
Okay, well, I didn't even realize that was Flash, so I'm two episodes behind on that.
Yeah, you're two episodes behind on that. One on Supergirl.
Honestly...
Holy crap.
Yeah.
I won't get into the details since you haven't watched it. It was an okay episode, but man, like the resolution at the end, the way that they tied it up and what it means going forward is kind of a dick move. Okay. Like, this is a dick move episode.
Okay. Well.
Really bad.
I'll try to watch it. I don't know if I'll be able to. I think I want to talk about first my favorite shows from the last. Oh, I did not watch This Is Us. We haven't watched that yet.
Okay, but there were two episodes. Have you watched either of them?
I have. We have not watched any.
Okay.
I don't think. No, we have not.
Yeah, because the first one that comes back is called the past 7 weeks.
Yeah.
And it goes over what's been happening for the past seven weeks.
On hiatus. Yeah, I haven't. I didn't watch because I usually watch it with my wife.
This one's called like Songbird Road Part 1.
That was the other thing, too, is it was a Part 1, so...
So we got to wait for that to watch Part 2. Yeah, it doesn't really feel like it. Like, I watched it, and I'm like, there was no big,
Well, we'll probably watch them this weekend.
I think what it's going to be is it's going to be one of those, like, part one is this, and then part two is what was happening to these people while that was happening too.
Which I like it when they do that.
I do too. So yeah, I could definitely appreciate it.
But I think my favorite show this week...
Now, you're talking favorite shows that you watched, or are you talking favorite shows, like, to date, this is my favorite
show? No. My favorite television I watched these last 2 weeks is probably The Orville. I look forward to them the most. And enjoyed them both.
I'm actually going to try to get my mother to start watching this show because it is so much like Star Trek The Next Generation. The lessons are great. This most recent one, I don't know if you watched it, was on last night.
I did. I made a point to watch it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Okay.
That's a show I love. Absolutely. It's right now it's my favorite show on that I'm watching.
Yep.
And so I made it a point to make sure I watch it. But let's go back to Nothing Left on Earth Except Fishes.
Which at first I was like, what a weird title. And then it was like right there in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like immediately.
But we have Ed and the lieutenant. And, you know, they're dating secretly.
Mm-hmm. The dark matter expert.
Yep. They're dating secretly. And so they decide to, hey, let's go away together. He's got some leave saved up. You know, he tells his ex. She's cool with it, which she has no reason to not be.
Right.
Kelly doesn't get a say.
And she's already dating someone too, so.
So Ed and Janelle, or whatever. Yeah, Janelle. They head off together, and then the Krill immediately pick up on them. And as soon as it happened, my brain immediately went to the very first episode of The Outer Limits, the new resurgence that I ever watched. I remember very vividly. It was late Sunday night, NBC. It was on at 11:30 to 12:30. I was probably 13, 14, around that time frame, so I'm watching it on my old Square TV.
Say the new resurgence, you mean one from 30 years ago?
I mean from 20-something years ago. Well, that is the new resurgence. They haven't redone it since then. So that is the most recent resurgence of The Outer Limits.
Still 25 years.
Splitting hairs. But anyways, I watched this episode, and it was an episode where human had been captured by this alien race. And he was like a pilot of a he had information they wanted. And
I remember this one.
They threw a woman in there with him and they start torturing her. And they also start converting her to this reptile species or whatever the alien species is. And it's hurting her. And then finally, the psychological drama they put you through this whole episode. Then finally, at the end of the episode, you know, she's been completely turned practically to this other race. And so finally he tells her what they want to know. Don't worry. The Armada's just around the sun on the other side of the asteroid belt or whatever it was. And they're going to save us and we'll fix you. Don't worry. Don't worry. And then she's like, oh, that's what we wanted to know. And what it was the whole time is they weren't transforming her from a human into this alien creature. They were transforming her back to her original form from human. She had been transformed from the alien creature to a human to infiltrate him.
Mm-hmm.
And now they are to infiltrate the humans, and now they are transforming her back. And I was just like, whoa, like, you know, it blew my mind. And that's why I fell in love with the show. And I couldn't wait for Sunday night at 11:30, you know, I had to go to school the next day to watch The Outer Limits. It was amazing. And that's the first thing I thought of when the Krill appeared suddenly. I was like, her.
Because they blasted right by him because they had a cloaking device on the shuttle. Yeah. And the Krill blasted right by him. And then all of a sudden they like stopped and turned around and then came back and started spewing plasma.
Yeah.
Until it like painted the shuttle essentially.
And exposed them, yes. Yep.
And then their big ship came in and tractor beamed them on there. And same kind of thing, like you said. You know, Ed's stuck in a cell and they're torturing her, air quotes.
Yeah.
You know, sticking her with the electric probes. But it was a lot quicker because that wasn't the whole basis.
That was not the basis of the show. And he gives up his command codes, but he gives them fake ones.
Right. They don't know that at the time.
Right. He gives them things that would take them forever to actually find out what was going on.
Yeah.
And then this Krill woman comes out and reveals herself to be Janelle.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
I'm like,
we're 10 minutes in.
Right.
Yeah.
But the cool thing was, and this is another reason I love this show, is because she wasn't just a Krill woman. She was the one that they left alive
in
the first season when they infiltrated the ship. And she was, like, protecting the kids. She was a teacher.
Yes.
And they, like, basically spared her life. And she wasn't having any of it, you know, because they were still invaders. And they still killed the entire crew by turning the lights on.
Yeah.
And so she never forgot that. So it was a throwback to that. You know, she's like, I went out. I got tougher. I took these men under my command. I rose up the ranks, and now I've come after you.
Yeah, and that, yeah, exactly. It was a revenge thing, which I had kind of forgotten about that, and I had to stop and go look it up so I could remind myself.
I was like, oh my God, this is great.
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. And
because,
then,
again, that's like Star Trek, where you've got recurring enemies. They're not just the Krill. You know, they're not just the asshole religious zealots. This was somebody that they left behind.
She was specifically seeking him out, gaining his trust, getting in a relationship with him. Like, this was a very, very premeditated revenge plan that she had. And here's the thing. He was just like, okay, you're right. We did that. It happened. I'm sorry. But he was going to kill. Like, they were going to kill hundreds or thousands or whatever it was, and we couldn't allow that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And what was kind of amazing with it is, like, even then, he, like, was like, but what we had was real.
Yes.
You can't tell me it wasn't.
That was his big thing, because unlike the Outer Limits one, we didn't get to see all of it, but we heard that they've been doing this, dating in secret for a couple of weeks, doing movie nights, you know, cuddling, having sex, you know, really getting to know each other. She actually built a full-on relationship with him.
Absolutely, she did,
and so he was really crushed by it, but also seeking that validation, saying, tell me this was real.
Right.
You know, I felt things. How did you not feel things? And to her credit, the whole time she was just like, no. I was playing you completely. Yep. Like,
you're a fool.
Like, I kept waiting for them to be that Hallmark moment where she's like, we did have some. And no, she was just like, no. Nope.
We almost kind of got that, because what happens is another alien species, I don't have the name of it, attacks the Krill ship.
And they're heartless. They're worse than the Krill, because they just, like, once they set their minds on destroying something, they destroy it.
And even Ed was just like, why are they attacking you? And she was like, well, we basically, you know, screwed them over pretty hard.
We eradicated one of their planets.
Yeah. And it's just, he's like, oh, so you have it coming.
Yeah.
Right. And
but it was cool because Ed didn't know who they were. You know, this was not a race that the Federation, no.
The Union.
Thank you. had encountered.
I have heard a lot of great things about Star Trek Discovery, but I have not watched it. I know the second season, first episode, they put on YouTube for free for people to watch. I haven't watched it yet. I probably will. I've heard a lot of great things. But I tell you what, this is why we keep confusing it with Star Trek, because this is the Star Trek that we've missed and loved.
Yes.
And again, it's amazing. The writing really is amazing. I keep getting blown away by it, because my brain, I keep thinking, he's just going to start making dick and fart jokes anytime now.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen. I mean, they do some little jokes, like, and I'll talk about that in the next episode. But, excuse me.
She does have that moment in the cave, because, as you said, they get attacked, and these two escape. Jump in an escape pod and run.
They zap themselves to a planet to get there on the planet.
Yep.
And essentially, now that they're on the planet, they're trying to. She's got him at gunpoint. He's like, she's like, we have to get to the top of this hill to send out a signal,
right?
So we can.
That's always the way, you know. Right. There's a magnetic interference in the valley,
exactly. So they're trying to get there, and along the way, he's still basically like, "You can't tell me you didn't feel something." And then the other race lands on the planet and is now hunting them down, mm-hmm. and they end up in a cave, and because it's going to be daylight soon.
And remember, the Krill are very photosensitive.
Yes,
light kills them.
Yeah, he's like, we have to get some coverage. We're never going to make it up there tonight before the sun comes up, yada yada. So they go in the cave, and like you're saying, he goes to lay down to sleep, and she's like, sleep on your side. Why? Because when you sleep on your back, you snore. It's annoying, you know. Yeah. But she said so in a way that was like endearing.
Yeah, because you could tell that it was not something where she. Well, she sounded a little disgusted, but at the same time, it was something that she took the time to notice about
him. Yes, that's, you know? And that's what it was. It's like.
She had been studying him to take him out, but she was learning these things as well.
And so the next morning she wakes up and he's gone. And he shows back up and she's like,
he's right outside the cave entrance.
Right, but she sees that he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, look, I've been doing some figuring, it's been hours, the sun hasn't moved. And after the calculations, it's 23 days is a day here.
Yeah.
The sun's gonna be up for 23 days. She's like, well, we'll wait it out. And he's like, we can't.
No, we won't.
We don't have food. So he's like, I will go up. I will send a signal. I will get us out of here. And she doesn't want to trust him, but then she has no choice to. He sends the signal, heads back, and then the alien race, I think that's probably when they showed up, actually.
No, they've been there for a while.
But they're getting closer.
Yeah.
And so they have to get out of the cave together. And so he gives her jacket to cover herself from the sun. And yada,
which was
yada.
A throwback to when they were having date night and he put his
jacket on her. Yeah. Then they get up on the Orville and he's releasing her. He's like, contact your whatever, have him send a ship for you.
Yep. And his first lieutenant,
Kelly
is like, you're going to be court-martialed for this.
Yeah.
This like, is that's a great. Prisoner of war. This is an enemy combatant,
yeah,
who took you hostage. They are going to kill you for letting her go.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that's what it's got to be.
Yeah.
And it wasn't to love her. It wasn't to show compassion in that respect.
Yeah.
It was, I don't want to kill her.
Right.
I don't want to see her be destroyed.
Now, real quick, before we get to this, the other underlying story through this whole episode was the pilot. Mm-hmm. Can't think of his name. Wants to take the command test. Gordon wants to take the command test. And so they keep cutting back with Kelly giving him pointers and him trying out.
Doing different simulations.
Doing like simulations and not doing well or whatever.
But he basically says that he doesn't want to be a pilot his whole life. You know,
exactly.
I can do that well, but I want to try to move up.
And part of his motivation is to pick up girls.
Most of his motivation.
Because it sounds cool,
pick up
yeah.
girls.
But so they tie in the fact that like Ed's decision to let Janelle goes along with being a commander and making decisions.
Yes.
You know, and kind of Gordon's like, I like being a pilot. But so they tie that together.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the most amazing part of the episode is that throughout the show or at the beginning of the show, whatever, you know, Ed's playing music for her. And one of the things he's playing is Billy Joel. And then at the end of the episode, even though he's like, look, you meant something to me. I know I meant something to you. And it's weird that her change of appearance from what she looked like as a human to now a Krill hasn't changed his feelings.
Right.
He's like, so here. And he basically gives her a mixtape, but yeah, it's a MP3 probably or something.
Right.
And he's like, you know, of Billy Joel stuff. And then they play that Billy Joel song, like, she's always a woman to me. And it was just like, I'm like, this is amazing.
It was really cut well.
Yeah.
It was really cut well
yeah.
over her, you know, their shuttle leaving
yeah.
and him kind of looking off ponderingly.
Yeah. It was awesome.
It was great.
It was another example of some well-used music.
It was. What was interesting, too, now I know that this is a side note. I know these episodes are recorded far in advance.
Yeah.
That it's always the way. But right as this episode was airing, Adrian Pilecki, who plays Kelly,
yeah,
announced on her Instagram that she just got engaged to Scott Grimes, Gordon.
Yep. Well, that's hilarious.
So they just got engaged right as this episode was airing. So
oh,
it was kind of cool seeing them, you know, go through the commander and the training and stuff like that, being like, oh, those two are stepping in real life.
after we recorded 2 weeks ago, we had talked about this, and I want to bring it up before we talk about the most recent episode, All the World is a Birthday Cake, is that the actress that plays Alara is gone.
Yes.
She's left the show.
Yep. They didn't go into detail, but they definitely confirmed that
yeah.
she's done.
And in this episode here, All the World's a Birthday Cake, we get the new, Claire? No, not Claire. The new security chief, Tala.
Tala, yes.
I got it in my notes.
Yeah.
And she's also,
she's the same race.
Same race. Zelenyan, whatever. Same race as Alara.
Yep.
So she's strong as well.
Because, Ed, as Kelly pointed out, Ed begged the Admiralty yes. to give another Salayan. Yes. To
yeah. Salayan. He's pronounced it correct.
Yeah. He begged for another Salayan. She seems like Alara was very humanistic,
yeah.
whereas this one seems much more
Vulcan.
Yeah. Like, they open on him saying, okay, we just got to go over this. It says here that you decked your last captain. She goes, oh, yeah, I laid him right out. I mean, knocked him clear into next week. And they're like, would you care to explain? And she said that basically they had encountered the Krill. They were damaged. Their ship needed repairs. And this other ship came along. And when it came up on the screen, they didn't realize until it came up on the screen, but it was a fiercely matriarchal society.
Yeah.
They only respect women. They don't believe that men should be in power. So she was thinking on her feet and just decked the captain so that he was unconscious. And she was like, you will listen to me. And they're like, oh, a strong woman. Okay.
Yeah.
She's like, we got our ship repaired and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, it's quick thinking.
Works but. For me. And then by the end of the episode, he's like, feel free to punch me anytime you want.
Exactly.
Yeah, or anytime you need to. So in this episode, they basically, it's a first contact episode.
Yeah.
The show opens with this race of humanoid beings that have like metal in their face and chin or whatever. And essentially they're sending a signal out there that says basically, is anyone there?
Yep. Is anyone
out there? And then as it turns out, a few years later, the Orville picks up the signal. And so they, boom, they head right in. Everyone's excited to make first contact with a race that has never had contact with anyone else before.
And they've never gotten a chance to do it yet.
Yeah, and so this is a huge thing. The underlying story is that Kelly and Bordas have birthdays that are 6 days apart next week, and Kelly wants to have a joint birthday party, and Bordas does not.
He's just so blunt about it. He's like, is this mandatory? And she's like, no. And he goes, very well, then. I do not wish to do this. And she's like, why not?
Yeah.
Gordon's like, because he doesn't want to get less presents. Trust me, shared birthdays are always like that.
And then, like, he brings it up a couple other times, like, about birthday, and he's like, we're having separate celebrations.
Yeah. He even says, like, I want it to be all about me.
Exactly, yeah. It needs to be about me. So they go down to this planet, they make first contact, and, of course, you're waiting to find out what's going to – it's called Rigor 2.
Yeah.
Which, what happened to Rigor 1? But anyways, there's always something that is the catalyst for, like – something's different or unusual right. or whatever it is.
They're cannibalistic or at Logan's Run, you know, at age 30, they kill them.
Yeah, yeah, something. Right. Just something like that. Soiling Green is people.
Yeah.
I mean, and the first little tip of the hat is when the doctor is checking out the medical facility and they're doing all these like kind of forced C-sections mm-hmm. that are happening way too early than they should be. And if they're putting the baby and the mothers at risk and there's no reason to be doing it. She can't figure out why. And then later on at the government dinner, Kelly makes a comment about her birthday being next week.
Hers and Bordas's.
And Bordas's as well. And she, this is like the best birthday present. And then that's when they're like, you're a Gilliac. And then,
well, first they just take him away. They're like, get him out of here.
Yeah.
Lock him up. You get out of my stuff.
Right.
Like, they take Kelly and Bordas and throw him in jail.
And the long and the short of it is this, is that Gilliac is an astrological sign of when someone's born. And anytime somebody's born in these 30 days, and in that 30-day cycle, I like how even though we're in different space, it's still the same cycle as Earth. It's just assumed time, you know, miles, hours, days, it's all the same.
Yeah.
But anyways, so if they're born in this 30 days, then they're known to be horrific people who are prone to violent outbursts. So they put them in internment camps.
Yep. And essentially they
complete with a star
yeah.
on their red jumpsuit.
They're a society that has completely built themselves around astrology, essentially.
Yes.
You know, they call it different, but it's astrology. And a lot of the members of the Orville don't know what that is. You know, it has to be explained to them how astrology works. And so they have determined that this one group, and all of their classes, they don't go into huge detail about it, but they kind of touch upon it. Each month that you're born in, or whatever it is, 30-day cycle, determines what your place will be in society.
Basically, because the people born after the Gilak stage are destined to be the leaders of our race. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, which is hilarious, is like even like their commander, their president, when he's talking to the
prefect,
is just like, you come from the stars. How can you not know this?
Right.
The reverence with which they hold them is in tremendous high regard.
So that's why they've been doing all the early Caesareans, because they're doing everything in their power to prevent babies from being born during that 30-day period.
And here's the other thing, too. The Gilak prisoners, the people that live there, they believe they belong there.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we belong here. This is our life, because this is when we were born.
Yeah,
oh,
why would we try to escape?
Yeah.
We're violent, terrible people. Well, have you ever done anything violent? No, but it exists within us.
Exactly. And so that's kind of the basis of it. And then Ed's struggle through the whole thing is to try to get them free. You know, he's trying diplomatic means. He doesn't want to use force, on and on and on. And
the Admiralty basically says, you can't mess with them.
Yeah.
And he brings up the thing with Bordas's kid. You know, he's like, what if you had tried to imply, you know, put your will forward on those people? How would that have turned out?
Right.
So the Admiralty isn't letting them. So they stick around for weeks, months.
Yeah. Well, it's a month.
It's a month.
Four weeks is what it is, because, you know, we have the next cycle.
Right.
And then they come up with this plan where they look at the Gilak stars cluster in the sky, and there's a black hole in there.
Well, they look at the constellation for Gilak.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I said, the star cluster in the sky. and they find out there's a black hole.
They didn't have a word for that.
They find out there's a black hole, and the black hole started like 3,100 years ago, right around the same time. So basically, like, that star disappearing is what triggered the Gilaks are horrible people.
Right. So which would have been, you know, 3,000 years ago, it would have been fairly primitive. And if they built their entire society around that, like the doctor said, you know, a star disappearing would be a horrible bad omen.
So they rig up a plan, the Orville does, where they're going to launch like a sail, as they're calling it. It's a giant
sail,
It's a giant reflector that's going to sit in the spot where the star disappeared, and the sun's going to reflect off it, and people are going to see it.
But not the exact spot, because it's the black hole now.
Well, no, it's going to sit. So from the planet, it looks like it's in the same spot. And allegedly, it's going to be there forever.
Or until these people decide that they can, you know, escape the gravity of the planet and do some solar traveling themselves and go, what's this?
So that's a little on the far-fetched side.
It's a Looney Tunes solution.
Yeah, but that's what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And it convinces them, and Gilaks are basically released, and Kelly and Bordas get to come back to the ship, and they have a joint birthday party, and live happily ever after. There's one big thing that I need to point out, is that Kelly decides, basically, fuck it. They think we're horrible people. We're going to show them horrible people. And her and Bordas go on a killing spree.
Yeah. She even says, you know, this is within the prime directive, or, you know,
of
whatever.
The first contact
have.
Directive because of this. Yeah.
We are playing right into what they expect us to be. Let's kill some motherfuckers.
Yeah. So basically, they go on a killing spree. Mm-hmm. They kill a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
They get shoot up. They try to escape. Yeah. They blow people up. They get into shootouts with the guards. I mean, on and on and on. And then at the end, like, they're about to be executed when...
Tied to the stakes and shot.
Yeah, when the star appears, and all of a sudden now they're free, and I'm like, that's it? Like, they don't have to... They're not going to be punished for murdering all those people?
Apparently not.
So,
but if these people are that religious and superstitious, they could be like, everything that happened in here was because of that. You know, them murdering these people brought the star back.
I guess. Who knows? But I just like how that wasn't even, like, they didn't even try to, like, gloss it over. Like, well, you know, good thing all those people didn't actually die, and the doctor was able to help them with our technology, and they're all alive. No. Good thing our doc was able to patch up all those people that you shot and blew up. No, they're just back on the ship celebrating the birthday party after murdering several people.
Yep.
Still a great show, though.
It is a great show.
So, what else did you watch, sir?
I'm still holding, and as I told you earlier, I made another hard sell to Mike when I got over here tonight because I had dinner with a friend of mine, him and his wife, and we were talking about shows and movies, and both of them were like, oh my God, we've been watching this show. We just started watching it, and we can't get enough of it. It's so amazing. And I was like, what's that? And they're like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. We just started watching this show, and it is so good. Oh my God. And I said, I was just giving Mike a hard sell on this the last week that we were talking on the podcast. It's just so much fun. It's such a great show. I've been watching. They had a flashback in the most, not the most recent episode that was on last night, but the one before that. They had a flashback. There's two officers there, Hitchcock and Scully, and they are the fat, eat at their desk all the time, you know, loser cops.
Yeah.
You know, the ones who are always in the bathroom or eating or whatever. But they're hilarious. They're just, everybody knows that they're the losers, but they always call themselves the best detectives. Well, we got to see a flashback of them in the 80s, and they were jacked and ripped. One of them was the main character from Blood Drive. So yeah. That was,
oh, okay.
So he was the 80s version of this dumpy slob.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. It was
definitely let himself go.
Oh yeah, dude. And it was all based on hot wings. The first time that they got to eat hot wings at this one place, they just lost their minds. So it's such a good show. The characters are so friggin' amazing. I love it so much. So I'm still holding on to the really hard sell. Anybody out there needs to be watching this show.
I did watch two episodes of You're the Worst.
Oh, so you saw the first one?
I did.
Oh my God. How cool was that?
Yes.
Did you think you were watching the wrong show in the beginning?
Okay, no, because you already gave me the heads up.
Right.
Don't think you're watching the wrong show. But I get where you're coming from because it's a 22-minute episode, and we don't see Jimmy or Gretchen until, like,
minute 15,
15 minutes 16, in or yeah. whatever it is.
Yep.
And so basically, the long and the short, they're sitting there with wedding planners getting free food and champagne and telling the story of how they met. Except it's completely made up and bullshit.
Every time they go in. Apparently they've been doing this to multiple wedding planners.
Yes. And in this story was how they met at a
video store.
Yeah. Yeah. An ugly, uncomfortable, haunting, and brilliant love story.
Yeah.
But they met at a video store, which I'm like, those don't even exist.
No.
Yeah. And there's like a big tormented story.
Dude, it was a beautiful story.
It was a beautiful story.
Like, I want this story.
Yeah, it was, and I love the fact when she'll add something, he's like, oh, I'm the video, okay. You know, like, surprised himself what she's saying.
Yeah, well, the first time that it happens is like, you know, you're watching this torrid affair, and, you know, the girl finally comes to the guy, and they sleep together, and she wakes up to get a glass of water in the night and steps out front, and her boyfriend, who she just left, is there, and he's like, I'm sorry, and she starts to walk off with him in the rain. You know, basically looks at this guy who's the hero and says, you know, I'm sorry. They start to walk off. And suddenly you hear Gretchen go, you hear Jimmy go, wait a minute. No, it was Gretchen. Wait a minute. And like the characters stop.
Yeah.
And the girl looks back at the door like, what? And Gretchen goes, I'm the one that left. That's how you're telling it. I'm the one that left. And that's when you realize that.
Yes. And then she begins telling like the story from her perspective now. And now it's years later. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
An amazing love story, honestly.
And then the next episode, which wasn't as good in my opinion, it's about them. They're going to elope at the courthouse. And they've picked a time. And then they both forget about it.
Yeah. But Edgar and Lindsay,
for different reasons,
don't want them to elope because they want to plan their wedding.
Right.
And so those two are constantly like trying to get them, like Lindsay steals her wedding dress.
Yeah.
This is a wedding dress I stole for you. And leaves it there for her. Gretchen discovers the joys of a bidet and how she can ride it for hours. Dude, when she stood up from the bidet after she basically fell asleep
on it. And a gallon of water fell out.
That was an excessive amount of water.
Yeah.
And it was so gross, but at the same time, it was hilarious. Like, I gave it a ha!
Yeah.
Right out loud.
Same here.
God, that was so much water.
But basically, they both missed the court date, and they take it as a sign, all right, maybe we should have a real wedding.
Yeah.
The one takeaway I have is when Gretchen's talking, like she's having a Skype session with her counselor and she mentions something about, you know, getting married and they go, oh, you're getting married to Boone? He's like, oh no, keep up. I'm getting married to Jimmy. Gretchen, no. And she closes the laptop.
Cause the counselor's like living in another place and, you know, she's just like trying to get rid of her. She's like, yeah, okay. Well, sounds like you're doing good.
And then she says that. She, no, no. Suddenly she's invested again. You listen to me. No matter what, do not marry. Click.
Yeah.
That was great.
And then I haven't watched episode 3 yet.
I have not either. Good Place? Did you watch?
I did not watch this week's because it aired last night.
Right. I have not watched that one either, but I watched one before.
I did watch
IHOP.
The IHOP episode. Yeah, I couldn't remember. Where basically they decide, long and the short of it, they're going to redo The Good Place.
Yeah.
New people to see if they can repeat what happened.
Right. It's a controlled experiment.
Yeah, and Michael basically finds out that if it doesn't work, then the four of them are going to be damned to hell and tortured relentlessly by a Michael clone.
Yeah, somebody wearing a Michael suit. We had a Michael suit made up, and he's like, hey, buddy!
Yeah, and Michael's now freaking out because, like, they're going to think it's him doing this to them.
Right.
He's like, well, no, I'll just tell them that it's not me that you're going to do this. And he's like, yeah, we'll just erase that part of their memory, just like you showed us how we can do that. Great trick, by the way.
Yeah.
So now he's freaking out about it. And when the first person is supposed to come in for their, you know, the first person is supposed to come in for orientation, Michael's locked up.
And he only gets 5 minutes to study the files of each of these people. So that he can't, like, plan it out elaborately.
Right.
Speaking of which, we forgot to mention this. How cool was it that Ted Danson was the admiral on the Orville?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I thought that was pretty sweet.
I mean, nice little cameo. It was a two-part cameo because he was just on the screen twice, but it was like, oh, it's Ted.
Oh, and Jonathan Frakes is going to be directing some episodes of Star Trek Discovery, apparently, as well.
I'm not surprised at all. Yeah. He directs a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good episode of...
I thought that was solid.
Yeah. I liked when the judge... Basically, they said to the judge that she's like... again, it was kind of reminiscent of what's going on right now, or what was going on until this afternoon with the whole government shutdown, and you've got these people who are multimillionaires, and they're like, why don't they just go to the bank and get a loan? Just because they don't have a paycheck, they can go to the grocery store and, like, talk to the grocer and get groceries. Yeah. You know, they're completely out of touch. That's how the judge was. You know, the judge was like, come on, it can't be that hard on Earth, no matter what.
And she's gone for, like, 30 seconds. Oh, my God, it's terrible down there.
And I'm a black woman. They don't like black women.
Well, no, apparently, I'm a black woman. Yeah. They do not like me down there.
But she went to all these different countries and all these different places and discovered, holy crap, it is hard to be a human.
Yeah, it's hard to be good because there's so many unexpected consequences from doing something when you don't even know you're like buying flowers for your mother.
Yep.
So they established that the bad place wasn't rigging the point system. It was just the fact the point system was out of touch and needed to be up to date.
Exactly.
Out of touch and out of date.
Yep.
So,
so I watched, I know that you didn't watch an awful lot of shows, but I watched 3 new shows this week.
Holy shit.
In addition to what we're still talking about, because, like, did you watch New Amsterdam? There's been 2 episodes. First one back where he gets his little bag of chemo and he has a smiley face on it.
Yeah, and he walks around. Yes, I did. And then the next episode was...
I just watched it.
I don't think I did.
It wasn't memorable, apparently.
What was it?
Let's look it up.
I gotta say, I don't know. It's almost like The Good Doctor. Like, I watched The Good Doctor.
Yes.
Like, Quarantine Part 2 and then the Aftermath episodes. Yep. The good episodes.
Yes.
But nothing...
It's not tremendous. The kind of show... It's not like The Orville where I'm, like, thirsty for it every week.
Exactly.
I watch it and then I'm like, eh,
okay. I was like, it's pretty good.
Yep. And New Amsterdam's like that. It's a good show. I enjoy it. But it really doesn't...
Nope, I did not watch this one. Dr. Frome reports a veteran surgeon in New Amsterdam he believes can no longer be capable of performing surgery.
Yeah. there's a show on Comedy Central called Corporate. And it just came back for its second season. And this is kind of like Office Space, only darker. Like, all the colors are more muted.
Yeah.
And it's really toiling and drudgery of, you know, corporate life. But they've had 2 episodes. The first one was called, it was basically about office crushes. You know, and these 2 guys sit in one office together, you know, across from each other. They're best friends. And one of them's like, you know, hey, I got a crush. And he goes, let me guess, it's that girl right there. He's like, how did you know that? He goes, because she's the person that you see the most here.
That's what happens. The person that you see most at work is the one that you develop a crush on.
Like, realistically, that can kind of happen.
Oh, it happens all the time. Best example that I ever saw of this.
The longer you're around that person, the more you see, like, you just become fonder, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
You see them in a different light.
There used to be a show with Fred Savage called Working.
Oh, that show was amazing.
There was an episode of that, and I love this episode, and I wish I could go back and watch it again.
Yeah.
But it was an office crush kind of thing. And what happened was this new girl came in, and she was kind of like a nerdy, you know, she was right. not attractive. But every scene that she was in, they replaced her with a new actress, and yes. she got progressively more beautiful
yeah.
to the point where at the end, it was a supermodel.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful the way that they did it, because everyone else saw her as the same person. They never brought that actress back. They just always had a new actress who looked yep. more and more attractive each time. And that's basically what this episode was about. It was great.
Well, it's like sometimes you'll see a married couple. Yeah, I remember thinking about this. There was a girl that worked at Kennebec SO Dispatch back when they had one, and she ended up marrying one of the deputies. And as Sarah, I looked at that, and I was like, he's not a bad guy, but there's no way in hell 5 years ago when they were both in high school that they would have been together.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it just wouldn't have happened. But now, they've been working together for a couple of years. They've gotten to know each other. They don't see that. They see each other in a different light. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? It's kind of like...
Mermaid or manatee.
Yes. You don't have that initial reaction. Like, you might... The initial reaction might be one of like, oh, okay. But then after working together for a couple of years even, it's just you... Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You develop those type of feelings.
Yep.
Versus what I experience more often, which is seeing someone and seeing them and going, wow, that's a beautiful person. And then the more you get to know them, going, wow, that's a really ugly person.
I said to a new coworker just last night at work, I wish I could think of the word. Oh, You're actually pretty inappropriate, aren't you? She goes, yep, I am. Definitely didn't see that coming when I first saw you here. And I go, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's unexpected.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Because you know how we talk in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And this girl, like, she's kind of a newer, and she's 30s and she's got a kid and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it's just the way she acts and carries herself, I never would have expected, you know. But and I don't have a problem with it, but it's just
right, right.
It just surprised me. It's just like, you're kind of inappropriate, aren't you? And she's like, yeah, I am. I'm like, cool, you fit in.
I do recommend Corporate. It's a fun show.
Yeah.
The second episode here was the concert, and it's basically they go out after work. One of them's like, no, I don't want to go out. I don't want to go to the bar. I just want to go home, eat some ice cream, hang with my cat, masturbate, and that's it.
Sounds like a great plan.
It does. And his buddy's like, no, my friend's in town. We got to go out. And those two end up partying, and this guy's just like, no, I'm not having any of this. And it's talking about how you reach a certain age where you just don't do that anymore.
Right.
Like, you just don't go out and party. You just go home, whack off, and you get, like, a montage at the end of the four people who've all, like, talked about that, all doing their own thing to give themselves the O-face.
Yeah.
Pretty classic. But I ended up watching all 8 episodes of Sex Education.
I have watched a couple. I think I've watched a couple back when we recorded the last episode, maybe.
Okay.
But I haven't watched any since then, I don't think.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
The characters are great. It's British, but it feels kind of American.
Yeah.
The soundtrack is awesome. Remember how
yes.
you were talking about like how they put She's Always a Woman to Me?
Yeah.
The soundtrack in this show is amazing. I'd love to see it put out, or I could probably just, you know, go on Spotify and find it.
Right.
But it's a good show. Basically, the Gillian Anderson is a sex therapist, but we find out that she, like, she got rocked by her divorce. Like,
yes.
her husband,
oh, right.
when yeah. he left her, like, she closed off her heart. She'll have sex with just about anybody now, but she doesn't want a relationship. She yeah. doesn't want to get into it. And they used to be partners in practice. They wrote a book together. And ever since they divorced, she can't write. Like, she has
okay.
tried and
I
she can't
gotten
write
that far,
anymore.
I guess.
Her son is neurotic. We learn right in the first episode that he can't masturbate.
Yep.
Like he
makes it look like he did to please his mother.
I love the first scene when he's like trying to arrange it so that it looks like he masturbated and that guy walks in. He's like, oh, this isn't the bathroom. And like, he has this whole conversation.
Yeah. Oh, so it seems. Don't worry.
Yeah. But the characters are really cool. It's not the typical story of, you know, he gets together with Maeve, the rebel girl at school, yeah. And she discovers that he has a knack for giving advice, sex advice. Yeah. You know, not just like, oh, here's how to do penetration, but he basically, like, analyzes them. Like, one of his first clients is a girl who was giving her boyfriend a blowjob and threw up on him. And he told her, you shouldn't give blowjobs anymore. And her biggest concern is, well, if I don't give him blowjobs, he's not going to go down on me, and I want to get pleasure too.
Yeah.
So he tackles that kind of stuff, or the couple who are fighting constantly.
Well, the couple are fighting because he wants to have sex with the lights on because he loves her and he wants to see her body. She thinks she's hideous and doesn't want to have sex with the lights on because she doesn't want him to see her body.
And the first time we see them, this ends up in a tragedy where she ends up in a neck brace. He breaks something. He
breaks his arm or yeah. shoulder.
And her parents walk in on the whole thing. Yeah. So it's nasty. But he puts them together in a bathtub and has them sit back to back and explain, you know, what do you like about her? Yeah. How do you want the
light? He's learned a lot from his mother.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, no. He says to her, say 5 nice things about yourself. And she can, but she can't. She struggles at first. And then he says, how is she ever going to see herself the way you see her if she can't even see the 5 good things about herself?
Right.
And it makes him realize, oh, okay. And so they can kind of work on it together. It's, yeah. It's actually really good advice.
There's some really good characters in this. There's the girl with the ginormous overbite who, right in the very beginning, yes. she's having sex and her boyfriend just can't get off.
Yeah.
There's his best friend who's very gay, but yeah. outwardly gay, you know. Yeah. There's a girl, I don't know if you've met her yet, but she just really wants to get fucked. Like, she just wants to have somebody have sex with her.
Oh.
And she is... She's not, like, desperate, like, you know, please, please. She's just like, hey, I want to have fuck. Yeah. I want to get fucked. Let's have sex. I recommend this show. It's a good show.
Oh, yeah, I definitely look forward to finishing it. It's just, again, that's a time thing.
Right.
And I can't really watch that at work, I don't think.
No, probably not.
It's not appropriate for work.
No, no.
For a work environment.
No, no. I would say you are correct there, sir. I also watched a show, and I've only watched 2 episodes of this. It was one that Netflix recommended to me. And honestly, like, have you ever, like, you go to a restaurant and you eat something and you're like, this is so good, I can never order this again because it'll never live up to as good as it was this time?
Yes.
That's how the first episode of this show made me feel.
What's the show?
It's called You.
I've heard a lot of good things about You.
So... Netflix recommended it to me. I did a little research. They were like, this was a Lifetime show. And I'm like, pass.
Yeah.
But I read the premise of it and I was like, all right, I'll give it a try. That first episode did something to my head and I fell in love with this show. And I've only watched 2 episodes and I'm like, I don't dare go back. Like, I don't want it to be over.
Yeah.
As long as I don't keep watching this show, it's still out there and I can still enjoy it. But I don't want it to be over. The premise is, this guy works in a bookstore, an old-fashioned kind of bookstore, not like a Barnes & Noble, but like, you know, a little shop that has rare books type yeah. of thing. He's a young guy. He, if you ever saw the movie Easy A,
yes,
he was the one that she ends up with in the end. Okay. You know, the one who's the blue devil.
Yeah.
Handsome, charming guy. This girl comes in one day, and she buys a book, and he fancies her. And he kind of flirts with her a little bit. Most of this show, he narrates, kind of like JD does in Scrubs. So he narrates what's going on in his head. This guy is a stalker. This guy is a sociopathic stalker.
Really?
He is remarkably charming. Like, you love him as a character. You Ooh. Actually want him to get the girl. But he is so sociopathic, it's scary.
It's kind of like Dexter, but with a yes. stalker instead of a serial killer.
Yes. So he'll talk, like, he'll be narrating as he, like... In one of the first episodes, again, I'm only 2 in, he actually gets into her apartment by, he'll tell you, like Michael would in Burn Notice. He'll be like, did you know that in New York City, the police have to send somebody to respond to any threat of a gas leak? So he calls in a gas leak on her apartment. The guy shows up to look at the gas main, and he shows up while she's out, knocking on the door. And he's like, hey, honey, you know, I told you I wasn't going to, you know. Oh, hey, you're here. Have you seen her? And the gas leak guy's like, no, she's been out most of the morning. He goes, oh, okay, shoot, I just missed her. He goes, well, I'm all done here. So he leaves. Now the stalker is there to go through all of her stuff. And he's looking at her computer and he's looking at her calendar and her photos and stuff like that. And he's narrating in his head and he's talking about, you know,
oh, your friends are terrible people. Don't worry. When we're together, I'll find better people for you.
I want to watch this.
It is so amazing. She's not a good person either. She's really not. She's pretty, but she's very vapid. Like, right in the beginning, he's looking at her Instagram and her Facebook, and he's like, these are all set to public instead of private. You obviously want to be seen. This is obviously a thing for you. You want people to see your life. You want them to know this about you. I cannot tell you how much I love this show.
I'm going to have to watch it.
You've got to check this out. It is phenomenal. And that's all I'm going to say about it, because the stuff that happens in this is, again, he's an awesome person, and he's also a fucking psychopath. Nice. Yeah.
Okay, I look forward to watching that. Good. I look forward to watching. I've heard a lot of great stuff.
And that one you can watch at work.
Okay, I've heard a lot of great stuff. I mean, it's in my queue. I think I maybe even added it to my list.
Yeah.
But it's one of the things I just haven't gotten around to watching it, but now I'll bump it up the list.
Super hard sell.
Nice.
Yeah. What else did you watch?
I watched The Good Doctor. That was okay. We talked about that. I watched The Rookie.
Vice President Visiting.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the most recent, which I think was last night. There's a lot of stuff on Thursday nights.
I don't think I watched last night's either. Let's see. Last night's was called Redwood. The most recent one is the one about the Vice President.
Oh, okay. Maybe it comes on Friday night. So I don't know.
The next episode is not until...
Oh, that's right. They said 2 weeks.
Fifth. Yeah. Did we already talk about when
it came back from hiatus?
Nope. When his son came to visit him and Castle has to ride with the captain, with the sergeant.
Yep.
We did.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
That was last week.
So then we just have the ride with the one where the vice president's there. And... Again, another shootout in this.
Yeah. They seem to get in a lot of shootouts.
It was a good episode. Chen gets accidentally stuck with a hypodermic needle.
Yeah, right in the boob.
Yeah. No, it wasn't in the boob. It was down by the side.
Oh, was it? I thought it was like right here, like on her palm.
It was down by her side.
Okay, so that's why the vest didn't protect
her. Exactly, because it was on the side. And, Bradford takes the needle out, bags it. And he's like, all right, what do you do next? He's trying to keep her together. He is doing his, and this is the thing. This happens, he becomes super cool to her, but in a way that, like, he's trying to keep her head together, trying to keep her focused. Let's get to the hospital.
And also teach her.
Yes. And see, everything for him is a teaching thing.
Yep.
Even 2 weeks ago, when Bradford and the other girl were together, allegedly, he taught her something, but regardless. So
she was his boot at one point, and he's like, I'll always see you that way.
Yeah. So they get to the hospital, and the guy behind the desk is just like, yeah, all right, have a seat. And he's like, what do you mean have a seat? And he ripped, no, this is,
she is an armed officer. You do not put her in with the general public. One of them could get her gun. Anytime an armed officer comes in here and needs help, you immediately get a doctor. Do it now.
Yeah. And the guy's like, oh, sorry. But basically, Bradford kind of keeps her head together, but he does leave her there at one point because she goes into the bathroom and finds a woman who's like all sad and shit. And basically the long and the short is she's going to kill her brother who is brain dead.
Yep.
And comatose, and his wife refuses to let go. And so she's going to fill him full of bleach with a needle. And she stops him. She stops her. So Bradford's going to take her down to the jail. Yeah, and he's like, can't leave you alone for a minute. but no, it was a good episode.
Because everything else that's going on is basically the vice president is coming to town. And again, this is what I like about this show is that they show you all the sides of the police work. It's not like SWAT where it's just, oh, we're always chasing bad guys. At first, Castle and his TO go out there and they're supposed to be responding to anything in the neighborhood that seems suspicious. After they get done with that, the sergeant comes in and he's like, you're on gopher duty, basically.
Yeah.
He's like, for the rest of the day, you're going to be going around and bringing coffee and supplies to anyone out there who is working as a police officer.
Yep.
It's not glamorous, but it has to be done. Because they're basically putting out all the fires and checking up on people who have a history of, like, sending threatening letters to the vice president or histories of stuff like that. They actually find a guy who, was buying supplies to fuck with the vice president.
Yep. So the reward was to be go-gophers.
Yep.
And then another backstory is, what's his name? West and his partner.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to go to this building to take down Lopez and take down banners that someone had put up because for the vice president to see that were offensive.
Yep.
And in the interim, while they're there dealing with that, around the corner with Nolan and his FTO Theo. Bishop, they're involved now in a shootout with some people that were they caught robbing a drug
marijuana dispensary.
Marijuana dispensary, and it was just good.
Yeah,
it was a good episode.
It was a really good episode.
Yeah,
I really like this show a lot.
And Lucy finds out there that, or whatever her name is, Chen finds out that she's just got staph infection.
Yeah.
That might be unrelated.
I am so happy.
I thought they were going to say she was pregnant.
I did too.
Oh.
I literally said out loud, nobody else was around me, but I said out loud, fuck, here it comes. Is there going to be, the result of your blood work is that you're pregnant.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be she was pregnant. So I'm glad they didn't go that
way. I'm so glad they didn't go that way. Another reason to love the show.
Yeah. The Connors and the kids are all right.
Mm-hmm.
I really like both shows. They're both great for different reasons. I think I've said this. I've told this to my buddy Brandon. I like the Connors better than I liked Roseanne.
Nice.
Like I
That's
really
cool.
Yeah. Like it's
because you really liked Roseanne a lot, so it's nice that you found something that you like even more.
Well, I mean, without her, the show is still great. In fact, I think I like the show better without her. Is what I mean.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. The Blacklist.
Blacklist.
Did you watch that episode?
I sure did. Yeah,
the Pawnbrokers.
What a cool – that's one of the things that I like about this show is that some of the blacklisters are so cool in the way that they're unique. They're not just drug czars or kingpins or anything.
Yeah.
This is an elderly couple that runs a pawn shop.
That literally will buy and sell anything.
Mm-hmm.
And
anything.
And she tells how it happened. It's not like they will one day said, hey, we're just going to do this.
Right.
They had been in business for several years, and then somebody came in with something, and they bought it. And then they found someone else to buy that. And then they just slowly developed a reputation.
Yep. Did drugs and then harder stuff. And they do everything. Sex trafficking, human trafficking, nuclear secrets. You know, you name it, these people will move it. Yep. And they've gotten so high tech. You know, fingerprint scanners, facial recognition.
So Samar goes undercover to try and stop them.
Mm-hmm.
Samar's having some issues as well. We find even more
aphasia.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
is this the episode where she tries to dial 911 and she dials
119? Yes, when the pawnbroker's wife gets shot.
Yeah.
So the Chinese are trying to get the basically what it is the pawnbrokers have a list of all government agents.
It's a knock list, essentially.
Yeah, basically. And so they're trying to get it back before the Chinese get it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a woman who is where is she from? I don't remember.
She didn't look Asian, but she's working for the Chinese.
Well, yeah, but she's an American and working in the American government. But it's from like the CIA or
NSA
or one of those.
Some alphabet department.
Right, one of those agencies. And she's there kind of like overseeing this with a Harold's group, you know what I mean? And,
yep.
And essentially.
She wants the list back because.
There's information on there that talks about what she's doing.
Yep.
Is it exposing her that she's gone, that she's committing treason?
Yeah.
And just tipping off the Chinese and letting them know what's going on. And, of course, Harold, they look at the drive and they find that on there, and she's arrested.
Yeah. Well, she says that she's like, if any of your people looked at that drive, they can be held,
right,
arrested, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, we did.
Yeah.
And we saw what it was. Yeah. And then he calls in two guards. And she's like, she tries to walk right past the guards. Like, I'm out of here. And he's like, no, you're not.
And then she's like, well, good luck prosecuting me. He's like, oh, we will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So while that's going on, Red is adjusting to jail life.
And he's been put in Gen Pop.
And basically somebody picks a fight with him. And he...
Actually, no. It was a guy that they knew, that Red knew from outside prison. And
right.
Red sits down with this young kid. And this guy comes over and takes the young kid's lunch meat,
mm-hmm,
from his pea and his, you know, olive loaf, whatever, out of his sandwich,
right,
and eats it. And Red goes over and is like, give it back to him. And Red picks the fight.
Right, that's
and
right.
He gets his ass whooped.
Yeah.
And then Red somehow figures out a way with a rat.
He lures a rat into his cell through a busted water pipe.
Yeah.
And then has the kid get him as much string as he can, ties it to the rat, sends him back out the pipe because he's like, he got in here somehow, he can get out.
Yeah.
The rat ends up in a have-a-heart trap.
Yeah.
from an exterminator that's out there spraying chemicals to kill or keep them
and
away.
He's trapping the rats.
And basically it has a note attached to the rat that says, dial this number and get $10,000.
And it's Denby.
Yep.
And then Denby comes back and puts like a little alcohol bottle or whatever the note, what do you want? And he attaches it to the rat. Oh, he attaches it to the string so Red can pull it back through.
Yep.
But he attaches his own string to it, so now they have a way to communicate.
Yep.
And basically the reason why Red gave Liz and everybody the pawnbrokers is because inside their warehouse was an armored car and yada yada. And this guy that was in prison, he was in prison for allegedly robbing this armored car. Turns out he didn't do it. Turns out he's a piece of shit. And he was in prison hiding out from this.
Right. He told them that he had done it so that he could go hide in prison. And Red had told him when they like stood eye to eye and the guy was like, I'm going to kill you tomorrow afternoon. Red's like, you have one chance. Otherwise, within the next 24 hours, you're going to be lying on the floor, bleeding from your gut because you'll have been stabbed, and you're going to be gasping my name.
Yeah.
That comes true.
Yeah, because Red gets him out of prison when they find out he wasn't wronged, and then the guy gets murdered.
Yeah, essentially they raided the pawnbroker's place, and they're like, hey, look, the armored car that guy supposedly stole. And they get in touch with a lawyer, and suddenly they're like, hey, your lawyer called.
Yeah.
You're getting out of here. And he's like, oh, shit.
And just like that, Red is now running the prison, essentially.
Yeah. And the kid's like, oh, boy, his cell's up for grabs now, and it's really nice. You should move in there. And he's like, no, I'm happy where I am. First off, you don't get to pick your cells. I don't care how corrupt the prison is.
Right.
You don't get to pick your cell. But it was still cool. You knew it was going to happen. You knew Red would end up running the place.
Oh, yeah. He's got a mini Denby.
Yeah. And the next episode, the preview, is basically Red's going to hear the anonymous call that came in tipping them off about him.
Oh, yeah.
And Liz is like, my voice is on that. He's going to hear it. Yeah.
All right. I did watch a couple episodes of The Punisher.
Okay. And you're liking it?
Okay. So it's kind of weird because, like, the first episode, like, I kicked his foot under the table. The first episode, it does that thing where it starts out where he's basically killing people, and then it flashes back to an unknown period of time. And he's hanging out in a honky-tonk bar up in Michigan, and he's flirting with a bartender, listening to some live music. And for all intents and purposes, they spend the first half of this episode trying to show that he's trying to be a normal person. He's trying so hard to be normal, to go to a bar, to listen to a band, to have a couple beers, to hook up, pick up this chick. Turns out she's got a kid. Hey, let's go get some breakfast. Like, he's trying so hard to be normal and just, let his past go. And then, like he says, shit's just drawn to me. And he, ends up getting into some mess, and I'm not going to tell you about it because I want you to watch it.
Oh, I've got it. Yeah.
But
Though it'll be bittersweet because you know it's going to get canceled.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's pretty much already
I'm surprised canceled. They haven't announced it yet. It's been out a week.
Yeah.
Of course, on the other end, we see Billy Russo.
Mm.
And then the agent, spoiler, that he shot in the head, she's alive.
Oh.
Guess what she is very focused on? I feel like it's been a year since we left off.
Okay.
I feel like that's what it's been, the time frame, because she's back at work.
Gotcha.
So there's this scene, and I'm not going to tell you anything other than there's police officers involved and the Punisher.
Okay.
And one of the cops says, and I'm paraphrasing because I should have gone, I wanted to go back and listen to it and write it down, but I didn't. But he basically says, like, when you're watching like a Western, and he goes, that one guy comes to town and everyone thinks he's the devil, but then they're all happy when he's on their side. Yeah, I'm happy he's on our side.
Like Liam Neeson's.
Yeah, Liam Neeson's. This is the one thing I really like about The Punisher is, like, okay, when he's fighting somebody who's not trained, he just fucking wrecks them.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's fighting people that are trained, he struggles, but he kind of wrecks them. But he takes an ass whooping in the process.
Yeah.
In the Daredevil season 2, when he has that big prison fight scene where he kills, like, those five people. they're not trained fighters. Right. They're just tough guys. Yep. So he handles them, but he takes quite a bit. And then in the Punisher season one, he's fighting trained military people. So he comes out on the better end most of the time, but he's taking an ass whooping.
And when he comes out on the better end, it's usually when he's had chance to prep,
yes.
like ambush them
right.
and make sure that he gets the drop on him. Because when it's toe-to-toe, you're right, right, he gets his ass kicked a little bit.
So in this season, it's the same thing. When he's fighting a guy or a girl who's got training, it's not a cakewalk for him.
Right.
However, when he's going after people that don't have the training, it is a cakewalk for him. And I kind of like that because he's not the unstoppable force. He's just a tough guy. And he's a badass. John Bernthal's fucking amazing as the Punisher. As I'm watching, I'm just like, man, I hope somehow they don't cancel this show for some reason, or the Disney Plus picks it up, or he ends up in the cinematic universe for some reason.
Right.
I don't know. But it's great. I'm enjoying it.
Awesome.
Speaking of the cinematic universe, real quick, did you see all those rumors that Hugh Jackman as Wolverine is going to be in Avengers?
It's not going to happen. But
allegedly, he's been working out again.
It's not going to happen. It's the same thing as he didn't show up in the Deadpool movies, Even though right. he could have.
Right.
He had a place. No, Deadpool 2 opens with the little statue of Logan
yes.
impaled from the movie. I have seen those rumors, but I honestly don't think we'll see it.
So I got to ask, are we done with TV shows?
No.
Okay.
We both watched a new show.
Oh, The Passage. I did not write this out or make a single note. That's what I forgot.
When I saw the preview for this the first time, I went pass.
Yeah.
Because essentially, it looked cool up until a point. It was like a 3-minute long trailer. And the first minute and a half seemed kind of cool. It was like, ooh, some government agency and they're doing experiments on people and I don't know what's going on. And then the whole back half of the trailer was Mark Paul Gosselaar basically rescuing this girl and keeping her away from these people and being like, I'm going to take care of you. And I was like, pass. I don't want to see him, go on a road trip and take care of this girl. But I watched the show anyway. And I've watched 2 episodes so far. I know you've only watched 1.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
Yeah, so here's something that I didn't know after watching this, because I've just pulled it up on Wikipedia so I could remind myself the first episode.
Based on a comic?
It's based on a trilogy of novels.
Oh, okay.
So here's the thing that I'm like, oh, okay. So the little girl, her mm-hmm. name, her character's name is Ellie Belafonte, and she's one of those 10-year-old girls full of piss and vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
That's sassy.
Yep.
Mark Paul Gosselaar, it's pretty awesome in his role as like basically her protector,
yep.
who is sent to find her to bring her to this center, and then decides, nope, I'm not doing it.
They do have a little bit of backstory before that. Desmond from Lost
yes.
and his best friend believe they've heard rumors of this guy who's like 140 years old. And they want to find him because yep. they're like, oh, there must be something to him. And this guy who doesn't speak English leads them into the woods and yep. down in this cave and opens up a cage door. And this is a, air quotes, vampire.
Yep.
This guy jumps Desmond's buddy
yep.
and bites him on the neck. And then we flash forward to them, modern day. And his buddy is sitting there with like all these blue veins and he's non-responsive. He drinks blood. They've tried to replicate it in the other.
Well, that's people. The thing is they get basically death row inmates
mm-hmm.
and they get them to sign up and they take them to this place and they basically inject them with the blood, if you will, or whatever it is.
And it's not to create vampires because essentially the stuff that is in their blood,
yeah.
it turns them into like that, but it also cures everything in them.
Yes, it makes them immune to every disease. However, it also – so they're trying to figure out a way to make people immune to all diseases and not be a vampire.
Right.
And so they're testing on all these people, and they come up with this theory that, well, we did it to this young person, and this young person, it works because there's something in her blood that's – there's more of it in her blood than an older
neurons.
Person. Neurons, yeah.
The younger they are, the
more neurons
more
they have.
Resistant they are to this because, yes, they have more neurons.
So they decide they need to try it on a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, like, we're not going to do this, are we? And it's like, yeah, we are. So they have to find the perfect candidate, which they do in this Ellie Belafonte when her mother dies of a drug overdose. and she has no family, no nothing,
yep.
nobody. And it's the weekend, and so she's came and be brought into social services yet, so she's not even in the system yet.
Right.
So Mark Paul Gosselaar and his partner are sent to go pick him up. And basically he has a change of heart, and because I'm sure it has something to do with his backstory with his daughter.
Yeah, because you get the impression Emmanuel Shrieky is his ex-wife.
Yeah.
And she is way too prolific of an actress to be just a one-off. So
right.
she's definitely been in both episodes so far. But yeah, they talk about, you know, oh, it's your daughter's birthday.
Yeah. And clearly his daughter's dead.
Yeah.
Clearly this little girl is reminding him of his daughter.
Yep.
And now he's going into protector mode.
Yep.
But this is what I just read. It says, The Passage is an American thriller television series loosely based on the trilogy of novels spanning 1,000 years in the life of Amy Belafonte.
Holy crap.
As she moves from being manipulated into a government conspiracy to protecting humankind in a dystopian vampire future.
Nice.
She's also the narrator. And she's clearly talking like this is all in the past. This is past tense.
She's like, this is where it all began.
Yeah.
This is how I first met him. This is where it first happened.
So, it's interesting.
It's
not what I thought it was going to be.
Not me either.
And I watched the first episode this morning, and I was like, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to watch the second one.
The vampires, because that's what I'm going to keep calling them.
They're vampires.
Yes.
It literally just said they're vampires. Yep. They lose their canines and fangs come in.
Yep.
They drink blood.
Yep.
They're vampires.
Now, different vampire myths have different mental abilities, like they can charm you or whatever. These ones visit you in your dreams.
Well, not these ones. The one guy.
Yes. The boss.
The boss guy seems to have the power to manipulate people.
The power of voodoo. Who do you do? That's the power of the baby.
Telepathy.
Yep. But it's always in dreams because somebody talks about that.
The girl, too. The young girl as well at the end. That's right.
Yep. Yeah. And you'll see more of that in the second episode, too.
So.
Very interesting. It's not just like, oh, they make your dreams a little bit weird. Like, they have full conversations.
You think you're awake and this is actually happening. Yes.
Yep. I like it so far.
I do, too.
I really enjoy it. After the second episode, I'm like, yep, I'm ready for more of this.
Cool.
So, yeah, I think we're done with shows now.
All right. Did you watch the movie I loaned you?
I did. That would be Summer of 84.
Summer of 84.
So here's the funny thing about that. So you gave that super hard sell on Summer of
84. Yeah.
So, okay, let's back up. I'm going to pull a mic here and give you this long, elaborate story that doesn't need to be a long, elaborate story. So
that's what I do.
So back when you invited me over that night and you were like, hey, you want to come over and watch Mandy and record? And I was like, dude, I'd be up too late. I got work tomorrow. So I told my new friend John at work, because we talk about games and stuff like that, and I know that he's also a big horror fan. I told him that, and he goes, oh, dude, you can borrow my copy of Mandy if you want. And I was like, you have a copy of Mandy? He goes, yeah, I got it for Christmas. I'm like, you're a hardcore fan. I haven't borrowed it yet.
Yeah.
But he was like, yeah, if you want to watch it to catch up, then absolutely. So we're on the same page there. So you gave that hard sell, so I went in the next day, and he's like, hey, so how's it going, blah, blah, blah. And I told him that. I was like, oh, he gave me a hard sell. He goes, dude, it's an awesome movie. I'm like, okay. Now, I've got two people telling me it's an awesome movie. So I watched it. Then I'll tell you about that in a minute.
Sure.
But then last night, I went out with Tully after work.
Yeah.
He wanted to go up to the Black and Tan. They had half-price pizzas. And he was like, you know, come out with me. There's another guy from work. And so I went up there, and I told him, I was like, Mike made this really hard sell on this movie. And, you know, Summer of 84. And he goes, dude, it's a really good movie. I go, I know. I watched the movie. And I'll blah, blah, blah. So there have been a lot of people who actually have seen this, and they're all like, yeah, it's a really good movie. So I thought that was cool.
I keep waiting for the butt.
No, no.
Oh, cool.
There's a butt, but it's not a real butt.
Okay.
So here's the thing. I really like this movie. I liked a lot about it. It was well done.
Yeah.
Very predictable. It was very predictable. But I think the reason that I really liked it, and I think – I'm not speaking for you, but I think the reason that you really liked it as well, if you're anything like me, which you kind of are, watching this movie, like, it hit me in my heart and it hit me in my gut. Like the first time I watched the first couple episodes of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
The synth music.
Yeah.
The filmography.
Yeah.
Everything about this not only was like, oh, that's the 80s. It literally brought me back to the 80s.
Yes.
I felt like I was like
Yeah.
A teenager again, watching this movie.
Yeah.
I felt transported back in time.
Yep.
So I wasn't just looking at the screen and saying, oh, this looks like the 80s. I was literally back in the 80s watching this like it was a movie that I was watching back then. And that's what I love.
Yes.
That's what really, really drew me into this movie was, you know, if you just look at the plot, no, it was very predictable.
No. Oh, yeah. And it was.
The characters were cool, but they were, you know, they were characters. None of them were like, oh, my God, I got to get a shirt with that guy's.
But it was but the cast was still cool.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I mean, the actors were good. They're great in their roles. I mean, you know.
But I mean, even the characters, like the brother of the kid with the glasses.
Yeah.
Who was the complete 80s douchebag. Literally, he was the 80s douchebag. Yes. Like, this was filmed today. It yes. felt like it was filmed back then.
That guy someday is going to be working at the Casual Mail.
Yes.
Yes.
These people, the whole thing felt like it was shot in the 80s.
Yeah.
It felt like it belonged in the 80s. The mentality of everybody, the overt sexuality, like, everything felt like it was in the 80s. It was like a time machine. And I loved it for that.
Spoiler alert, the ending, though.
Yeah, that was...
Didn't see that coming, right?
That was wonderful.
Yeah, it was great. The ending wasn't predictable.
Right.
The ending was a huge twist.
And I love the speech that the guy gives him.
Yes.
You know, just like, he basically tells him, he's like, you are going to wake up every day thinking this is the day that I'm going to find you and I'm going to kill you. And one day you're going to be right. And then walks away.
It was awesome.
Yeah. It was chilling. And the kid's just crying. And that's all he could do.
Yeah.
The bad guy wins.
The bad guy essentially won. Yeah.
And it was beautiful.
And we see him violently kill this kid's friend.
Yeah.
Like
that was the only real killing that you see. You know, you saw the bodies.
You see, that's the thing is you see like the half decayed body. Not half decayed, half eaten away body from the acid solution or whatever. And you see, you know,
the kid that's tied up who's like, he couldn't even say help me.
Right.
He's like, help.
Yeah.
Because he's so wasted away. But then like that guy literally picks up the bigger kid and puts his knife up
very slowly.
Very slowly and
slits his throat.
That's it. He leaves that kid there to die. Done. But it was really good. And he tells him, you know, he tells the hero of the story or whatever, you know, he's like, all you had to do was leave me alone.
Yep.
All you had to do was just ignore it and walk away. But it was cool, too. Like, the adults didn't believe him.
Nope.
But then they did.
Yes. That was the other thing, too, is like, when they filmed that footage, he never came home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so there was predictability to a point. And then they said, okay, let's take some left turns.
Yes.
Because I thought for sure when they were in his house, they had the camera, and they were looking for evidence that he was going to come home.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't.
Yeah, he did not. They got the footage to the police. The police and their parents watched it. The parents were like, I'm sorry, we doubted you.
Yep.
The police were like, get out there and find this sick son of a bitch.
Yep.
Like, everybody suddenly believed him. They could have done that, you know, the typical, like, where'd you get this footage? Or this doesn't prove anything. Or
right.
Like
no, that. No. They were like, yeah. So that's where the left turn took when they went and got the footage and then he didn't come home.
Right.
They got to the police. The police now and his parents now believe him.
They're looking for him everywhere.
Yeah.
And you're like, he's going to break into the house. He's going to come after these kids in their sleep. Oh, he was already there.
Yep. That was the other thing. He was in the house already.
Yep. Yeah. The call's coming from inside the house. You see that attic stairway slowly descend, and you're like, oh, shit.
I mean, it was a great flick.
It was.
It really hit you in the feels for a lot of different reasons.
Jesus.
But, yeah, that's why, like, literally after I watched it, I was like, Amazon, $10, buying.
Which I haven't brought it back yet. I forgot it tonight, but I will bring it back.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad.
It was great. And literally it made me wish that I could just like quantum leap back to my 1985 self.
Yep.
And live in that world again for a while. Because it was cool.
I mean, the 1988-89 self.
Yeah.
You know, when the arcades are still open in Gardner.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many, yeah.
So
video stores.
Things. Oh, Jesus. And again, we'd also hate it because, like, if you went back there with the knowledge that you have now, like, you'd never be able to pull out a cell phone and Google something.
I know. There's so many great things that we have now that we can't. Yeah. Things have changed so much for the better, but at the same time.
Like, that was the only unbelievable thing about Quantum Leap was the fact that when Sam went back there, he wasn't missing any of the technology of the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't like, oh, I wish I had a cell phone because, you know, back when the show was filmed, they didn't know what cell phones were.
Yeah. Good. Well, I'm glad you liked it.
I did.
One of the things I really enjoyed.
It's the only movie I watched this week.
I didn't watch any movies. They had a G.I. Joe mobile field unit radio. I had one of those.
With that bright G.I. Joe logo right on top.
Yeah, but it was like, it looks like the Vietnam backpack one. Mm-hmm. And it's, you have the handset connected to the box with the cord, which is somehow cooler than just the walkie-talkie itself.
And, like, when they want to spy on him, they put one of them out in the bushes hold down the the talk button.
Tape it down so that the sound comes across. Oh, yeah, it's
genius.
Good. Yes. news? Any news? What do you got for news?
The ones that we haven't gone over yet. There's going to be a new Ghostbusters movie in 2020.
Yes. But it's done by Ivan Reitman's son.
Yep.
Jason Reitman, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's going to have the original cast minus Egon, of course.
Right.
I'll watch it.
Oh, yeah, I'll watch it.
I don't think, and I said this back when the female Ghostbusters came out, I don't think that there needs to be this war between, you know, there's this whole thing, Leslie Jones is upset, you know, that they're touting this as, you know, oh, the real Ghostbusters coming back. There doesn't need to be a war. There doesn't need to be a division. And, like, this is the female Ghostbusters world, and this is the male Ghostbusters world.
You do realize that this is not the first Ghostbuster battles that we've experienced in our life.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that when the female one came out.
Yeah.
You know? The real Ghostbusters versus Ghostbusters.
Right.
Which Ghostbusters was actually a better show.
Yes, it was.
The real Ghostbusters was not. No. No, it wasn't that good.
They're doing a Zombieland 2.
Yeah, saw that poster.
Saw the poster.
Original cast.
Yep.
Which is good, because remember Amazon at one point tried to do an original series based on it, and they were going to have the same characters but different actors.
Yep.
And I don't think it even went to pilot. It might have gone to pilot and then failed, like some of those other ones, but it never got greenlit. February 20th, by the way, season 3 of Stand Against Evil will be on Hulu.
Oh, nice.
This is an interesting one. So, Happy Death Day to You was originally coming out on February 14th, Valentine's Day.
Yeah, makes sense.
But they've moved it up to February 13th. And the reason that they quoted is what's weird. They said that they're doing that because the Parkland, Florida shooting, the anniversary of that was February 14th.
Yeah.
So they didn't, I guess they didn't want to have a movie about murder on a college campus coincide with the anniversary of a shooting on a college campus.
That sounds dumb.
I mean, if they're going to do that, why not push it out by a month?
Yeah.
They're literally having it release a day before the anniversary of that. So that almost seems worse if you're going by that logic. But whatever.
Yeah.
Apparently, Goran Vishnik is going to be coming to This Is Us. So he left Timeless. Now he's coming to This Is Us. He's going to be playing Beth's teacher. I don't know if that's future Beth or past Beth.
Right, right.
And the only other thing that I had for news was just a really fun fact. You may already know this, but I saw this fun fact pop up and I was like, I want to mention that. So Keanu Reeves, when he was working on The Matrix, he had a stuntman that he worked with. And I guess the guy was so good that they became friends, and he worked with him through all three movies. And the guy actually went on to be Keanu's stuntman for like 15, 20 years. And he paid the guy back by saying, the guy was like, hey, I'm going to make a movie, and I'm going to direct it. And I was hoping maybe you'd star in it. He's like, absolutely, I'll star in your movie. You know, directorial debut, I'll star in it, whatever you got. You know, just to pay him back because he was such a good guy. That movie was John Wick.
Really?
Yep.
I did not know that.
I didn't either, and I read that, and I'm like, that's pretty fucking cool.
That's pretty cool. Right, like Jet Li's had the same stunt double for years and years and years as well. Like, this guy traveled with him.
Nice.
Yeah.
I guess that must be a thing. Like, if you find somebody who's good, you kind of stick with them.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
John Wick's a great flick.
It is.
Speaking of that, we got John Wick Chapter 3 trailer.
I figured that would lead right into that. Parabellum.
Yeah, what'd you think of that?
I thought it was fucking great.
I'm looking forward to it.
I don't even need to see another trailer.
I'm looking for now.
I
was going to watch it without seeing a trailer.
Yeah. But we got a lot of stuff in this. We got, you know, him on the run through the city.
Yeah.
They're talking about, oh, come midnight.
Yes. Come midnight, he's...
It's like $14 million or something.
Chicago.
Yep. And everyone's free to take him out for $14 million.
And I like what they say. Is like, you think he stands a chance? I'm like, well, maybe. You know?
But this one also includes Halle Berry. She seems to be the only ally that he has.
Yeah.
They each have a dog, and it looks like the dogs get in on the fighting as well. So that's definitely a staple of the John Wick.
Clearly.
Yeah. But yeah, it looks really good.
We got trailers for The Umbrella Academy.
Oh.
We had talked about it, but now after seeing the trailer, it looks way better than just reading about
it. They had a teaser way back that basically gave the story, you know, around the world, 42 women gave birth, but it didn't really tell anything.
This was a lot more in detail.
Holy crap.
It was really
good. And it has a talking monkey.
Yes.
But essentially, this guy went around. The 42 women gave birth, and none of them were pregnant the day before. But suddenly, they apparently were just pregnant and gave birth like that.
And this guy adopted 6 or 7 of the kids.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he created the Umbrella Academy, and they all had superpowers of some manner. Yeah. And now it's years later, they're grown up. He just died, and they came back together for, you know, whatever. It seems one of the kids can
travel in time.
Yeah.
And like he sneezed and traveled in time, and he finally made his way back, and they're trying to stop him because in 8 days...
the world ends.
Yes, basically.
Yeah. And so none of them want to, because they're all selfish at this point. None of them want to help him, but he's like, we're the only ones that can stop it.
Yeah.
So
it'll be interesting. Looks great.
It's going to be good.
We got the big spoiler trailer of Spider-Man Far From Home.
So on the one hand, phenomenal trailer.
Oh, it looks tremendous.
Holy God.
Yeah.
So many nods.
Yep.
So much beautiful stuff going on. People were originally thinking that that it's the elementals because you see like a golem of earth and one of fire and one of water. But then there's a scene where Ned's making a peace sign and a boat goes by and on the bow of it it says ASM 212, which is a reference to Amazing Spider-Man issue 212, which is the first appearance of Hydro Man. So my theory is that it could be Sandman and Hydro Man.
Yeah.
But I think it's Hydro Man and Mysterio, and they're working together.
Yep.
Mysterio has made
Definitely Mysterio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he looks badass.
Yeah, he does.
But I think that they're working together, and
we also we see Samuel Jackson in this trailer.
Yeah. A lot.
A lot. Yeah, he's fond of Aunt May.
Kobe Smulders is in there as well.
I mean, he's not fond of Aunt May, but John Favreau's character is in this.
Happy.
Yeah, Happy and Aunt May seem to be hooking up.
Mm-hmm.
And chronologically, it takes place after Avengers.
Yep.
And like I said, we see Nick Fury. We see all these people.
Kobe Smulders is there. So these are people who dusted.
Yes, including Spider-Man. And my thought is, like, why would they release this trailer now? It doesn't make sense. And so I was like, well, you know, marketing and campaigning, they gotta get that out there so people know. Like, people are going to watch it regardless.
Yeah.
They could have released the trailer the day after Avengers came out.
Right.
And had 2 months still.
It could have been the PS at the end of Avengers.
Right. So
some theories out there as to what's going on, because they say if you look at it, it seems to be taking place like immediately, whereas a lot of people are saying that Avengers Endgame takes place months or maybe even a year after the events of the dusting.
Yeah.
You know, it's not an immediate kind of thing because they got to figure out what's going on. But this seems to take place like immediately. Because
again, my assumption would be that they go back in time.
And reset it all.
So it may start a year after, but it's going to end the same time.
Some people have speculated that the snap didn't kill everybody. It transported them to an alternate timeline.
Yeah.
And maybe that's when this takes place.
Oh, I don't know.
But it was a good trailer, but it was kind of like,
trailer.
So these people are all alive. We assumed it. We kind of knew it. But, you know, it's still, like you said, why ruin the surprise now?
So real quick, Captain Marvel comes out in a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the PS scene is going to be her getting Samuel Jackson's page?
Probably. It would make sense.
It would make the most sense. I got a trailer for The Boys, Amazon original. It's a comic book series Garth Ennis wrote. I read the whole run online. When you watch the trailer, it does not accurately depict what the comic book is about.
The trailer doesn't accurately depict a lot, period.
Yeah. It basically shows, we have superheroes.
But it only does that like halfway through.
Right.
And then it talks, somebody's like, our job is to support the seven. Because there's seven who have superpowers that protect the world. We're supposed to support them, but that's...
And then it cuts to the boy sitting on the couch. And again, it's not a very good trailer.
No.
Like
I didn't even write it down because I was like, I don't want
to... Well, I liked the comic, so I wrote it down because I want to talk about
good.
It. It's not a good trailer at all.
No.
There's nothing about the trailer that would make me, if I had no idea who the boys were, what the comic was about, there's nothing about the trailer that would make me go, I can't wait to watch that.
Which is exactly what's going on with me. After seeing Umbrella Academy, and then I saw The Boys, and I don't know the comics, so I was like, I don't really care about this show. Like I said, I didn't even write it down because I'm like, eh.
And then I saw a trailer for a movie, and at first when I saw the trailer title, I was like, this is a fucking joke. Like, this is a made-up thing. This is some spoof or whatever. And it's called The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then Bigfoot.
And then The Bigfoot.
And then The Bigfoot, yeah. And it stars Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
And then I watched the trailer and went, oh, no, they're serious. And then the trailer's over, I went, damn, I want to watch this. Like, it looks really, really good. It looks like a damn good flick. And essentially what it's about is it's about a man who in World War II killed Hitler, and then years later he's sought out because they want him to go and kill the Bigfoot.
Yep.
Like, Hitler didn't commit suicide, this guy killed him.
That's right.
And it looks excellent. Like, it really does look excellent.
It's Sam Elliott, so of course.
But I was surprised how good it looked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, that's that. That's all I got this week.
That's all I got as well.
Cool. Well, on that note, I guess we'll wrap things up with Sam Elliott. I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I exist on Twitter, but don't really use it. The Corner Geek, G33K.
And that's about it. We will chat with you another time.
Like next week.
Next week, we'll chat with each other. And then, we didn't talk about this, and I'm not going to talk about it now because we've already wrapped this up. But my wife wants me to ask. We watched Manifest tonight.
Two episodes. Episodes worth of dog shit.
My wife just wants to know, if you could please message us, let us know, does anyone actually like the show?
Yeah, does anybody sit down and go, oh my God, like the way that we like...
The Orville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does anybody sit down and go, oh my God, the Manifest is on this week, I'm so excited.
I cannot wait, let's pop some corn, let's do this.
You don't have to give us reasons, you can if you want, but...
But as opposed to how we sit there and, Mystery Science Theater 3000 the shit out of it. So
yeah,
let us know.